First Timothy chapter 2. And as you turn to it, Laura and I are just so glad to be back with you and enjoying the joy of our Lord together, being able to celebrate all that He is as a family together. 1 Timothy chapter 2. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony born at the proper time. And for this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying. As a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Therefore, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as befits women making a claim to godliness. Let a woman quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness. But I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. For it was Adam who was first created, and then Eve. And it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman being quite deceived, fell into transgression. But women shall be preserved through the bearing of children if they continue in faith and love and sanctity with self-constraint or self-restraint. Excuse me. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Good and acceptable in the sight of our God. This is a key statement in any of the letters of the Apostle Paul, as well as in every book of the Bible. Everything is tied up in being that man or woman who is good and acceptable in the sight of God. Before we proceed any farther, let it be clearly understood that we are not saying that we can earn His acceptance, or that by our actions we can prove that we deserve His salvation. Never, never think to ourselves that there is any manner in which we can gain credit for that which has been done by and in His great love wherewith He loved us. I pray that our last consideration of this letter to Timothy did away with any of the focus being on our abilities and our efforts and our works as a means of gaining admittance into the family of God. That is only our place now because it is our dwelling in Jesus Christ. He is the one who brought us into this intimate relationship with God. He is the one who became the sacrifice for our acceptance into the beloved of God. He is the one who now lives forth from us in His love and His holiness, and His righteousness, and His sanctification by the Holy Spirit, being good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, is in fact the exact opposite of our thoughts of goodness and actions of self-sacrifice. Those things are done because the focus can then be placed on us, what we receive, what we deserve, and what we earn for our givingness, our generosity, and our compassion. Note that while being good and acceptable in the sight of God is to be characteristic of our lives, it is not based on us, but singly based in Jesus Christ who indwells us. We give forth that which He is in us unto others. As He is the perfect sacrifice for our redemption, so do we desire that He expresses that sacrifice daily for others. We are not the concern or the focus. Jesus Christ is that focus. It is His love for others that becomes our very life. Just as His life is lived for our benefit in always pleasing the Heavenly Father, so our lives are now lived for the benefit of others in as well always pleasing the Heavenly Father. That brings us back to the key of this chapter and of every book of the Bible. We are to live in the fact that in Christ we are good and acceptable to God. As such, our every action, our every thought, our every reaction and interaction is set in the single basis of that which pleases God. That which pleases God is the focus of our lives. And what pleases God is our Lord Jesus Christ. It is not our efforts that bring blessing to Him. It is as we live forth from the power and the love of Christ, expressing His life, that God is pleased. It is not in how good we try to become. It is in how our lives become a living obedience because of the more and more accurate guidance of the Holy Spirit as we embrace Him within our hearts. That is what pleases God. To please God in everything we do is to have ourselves set aside, completely put to death, as we sometimes state. We become the expression of the love of Christ as the light unto this world. We are now brought directly into the heart of John 3:16. How many of us have considered this? We know the verse, but God has incorporated that in us and us in it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. This is not just a passage that had its effect those 2,000 years ago. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is just as active and as powerful and as vibrant today as it was then. God still expresses that saving, life-giving love of Christ to this world. And He does it by virtue of Christ living His life in us. We are now incorporated vitally into that saving, loving grace of God, because we are now the living expression of that love of God to all those in our sphere of influence. It is not our goodness and our righteousness that is seen. It is simply the truth of living forth in His righteousness and His holiness and His love. Because of that, we are to become ever more perfect expressions of Christ's love. And that is what pleases God. That is what brings glory to His name. It is no longer for us that we live. It is for Him and only for Him that we live. That is why we have these letters written to Timothy and to Titus and to the church in Rome and to all the churches throughout the then known world. It is not for the purpose of trying to make our lives conform to a set of rigid rules and regulations. It is all for the purpose of showing us that it is no longer we that live, but Christ who lives in us. Our lives are no longer our own. They are His to do with as He deems best and proper. He makes us the living expression of His love. And that love is so freely given in Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. As He so loves us, we so love others. We do not follow a rigid set of rules and regulations that are in place to control us and to bridle our spirits. No way. We live in the manner that pleases God. And we live in that manner of pleasing God because we love Him. And we desire to only do those things that express our love unto Him. Because we love Him, we choose to follow His guidance. Because we love Him, we choose to ask the Holy Spirit to make our lives the ever more perfect expression of Christ, to bless our Heavenly Father. We love the Word of God, and it tears us up inside when we disappoint God. That is why we choose to have God put our self-lives to death. We desire to do only that which will please Him, and no longer seek after that which serves only to please ourselves. This is the key, don't you see, to our life in Jesus Christ. We quit seeking after our benefit and rather completely and absolutely seek after God's benefit, after His purposes, and unto His glory. We become less and less the focal points of these lives. We live more and more fully unto Him. We desire this. We crave this with all our hearts. We determine in our beings that He will have preeminence in everything. Not because we have to, but because He means that much to us. He is the focal point of our walk on this earth. That is what is being developed in us, corporately and individually as members of His family. To please Him in everything we do is the focus of all these scriptural exhortations. That is our life in Christ. And as we learn this tremendous truth, we will find that we are living lives that are ever more increasingly secure day by day. As we read in Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, He makes even his enemies to be at peace with Him. Even his enemies to be at peace with Him. We experience His peace, even in the midst of trial and tribulation, because we are no longer focused on how things affect us. We are focused singly and absolutely on how everything will bring greater glory to our God. This is so because we're now living in accordance with that characteristic, that distinguishing attribute of Christ our Lord and Master. John 8:28-30. Jesus therefore said, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He. And I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. And He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to Him." And note what happened when the people heard this. As He spoke these things, many came to believe in Him. He only did that which pleased the Father, and many came to believe in Him. That should be true in our lives. As we only do that which pleases Christ, pleases the Father, our life should be that living expression that draws others unto Him. Christ only did that which pleased the Father. His life was a living sacrifice from birth. It culminated on the cross and received validation in His glorious resurrection. It was the very life that Jesus lived every day. He chose to do what He knew the Father desired because He loved the Father and He could not do anything else but please the Father. And the Father was pleased with the life that His only begotten Son lived on this earth. As we read in Matthew 3:16-17, "And after being baptized, Jesus went up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened, and He saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon Him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens saying, 'This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" This is the only confirmation that mattered to Jesus Christ. That was the only acclamation that He sought. That is what made His entire living sacrifice worth all that it entailed. It is because His heavenly Father was well pleased in all that He was doing. It didn't matter how it affected His life or how much glory Jesus did or did not receive. He didn't mope about the strain and the stress and the arduousness of living this life. His focal point was not on Himself, but on the glory of His heavenly Father. That is the only basis for everything that He did. It was always and unfailingly just to please the Father, and that was worth everything to Him. Oh, that we would give ourselves to that same exact focus of living. That we would quit looking at ourselves as the entire reason for life. We build up resentments and unforgiveness and hatred because we think we deserve better, that we are being maligned, that we are missing out on something. We only look at how we are affected rather than how the Father will be glorified. When our perspective is set on Him, it makes all the difference in this world's journey. We no longer see our mistreatment. Rather, we see the vast need for the love of God to be expressed. Rather than seeing everything as working against us and against our beliefs and against our conceptual knowledge, we focus on the manner in which God's name and His beauty and His grace and His mercy can be further expressed, even in those seemingly hopeless situations. Rather than holding something against a brother or sister, we give it up to the Lord and we ask Him to love that one all the more. We willingly offer up ourselves for the sake of Christ's love in action. That is the aim of true ministry. 1 Thessalonians 2:3 and 4. For our exhortation does not come from error or impurity or by way of deceit. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, who examines our hearts. Ministry is not for the position, or for the respect, or for the power. It is for the single purpose of pleasing the Father. Whether our ministry is to the flock, to the children, to our family, our friends, it is a ministry of love. It is because we so love the Father that we answer the call that He places on our hearts to bring forth His word, His love, His admonition, His joy, and His peace to every situation. It is because He is pleased that we lay down our lives as the Lord laid down His life. This is true of all Christians every day in every place that God has placed us. In our homes, at our jobs, in school, in the Dominican Republic, everywhere, anywhere that God has placed us, we need to be there as an expression of His love. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you may excel still more. That you may excel still more. It is the Scripture, opened livingly by the Holy Spirit, that explains the manner in which our lives are to bring pleasure to God. We no longer view this world from the level of our place in it. What it is that we are to do and that we are to receive. Neither do we have to guess how we are to function as Christians. We know when our lives please the Father. We know when that registration of the Holy Spirit conveys the truth that the Father is well pleased in our words, our deeds, our thoughts, our praises, and our sacrifices. Hebrews 13, 15 and 16. Through Him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. When we truly take the time to pray about every situation, about every circumstance, we find that He is very faithful. No, He is always faithful, perfectly faithful, to give us the course that we are to take. Sadly, our difficulty is not so much in knowing what we are to do. It is set in knowing what we do not want to do. When we honestly, before God and not before men, consider the route that is before us, there is no way in which we can miss that which pleases the Father. It is the road of His peace and of His guidance, always in line.